Deborah Dillon from Farnborough on the line now. Morning, Deborah.
Morning, morning. How are we?
Good morning. We're very well. Lovely to speak to you. And I love the your story. You have just published your first book. I mean, that's amazing. And Princess No Knots, tackling the age-old problem of children not wanting to brush their hair in a fun and entertaining way. So how did the book come about, first of all, then?
Well, I have my very own Princess No Knots, and some of my friends when we were all getting together when the kids were younger, we all had the same nightmare and the same, oh, we're going home for the dreaded hair wash night. And we knew it would be a struggle, and bath was fun, but then combing the hair afterwards was just a nightmare. The struggle's real.
I mean, exactly. So, I mean, we can't really relate to that, myself and Matt, but we have got Jenny in the studio, and, you know, good. Jenny's, what are you, 14 years of age?
14, yeah.
So what was it like for you then, having your hair brushed? And
I've always had my hair cut by my mum when I was growing up, and still now today. I also do lots of dance shows, like I said, and dreading to get my hair done and asking to get my hair done. I'm very perfectionist, so it's always hard.
But actually, Jenny wants to have her hair done. You're finding that in your experience, that's not always the case.
Yeah, and learning how to do my hair by myself when I grow up now, yeah.
Interesting. So the book sort of was sparked, Deborah, through those conversations then, wasn't it, I suppose, from talking to fellow parents and realising that there's a problem. And then you thought, right, let's write a book about it. Is that how it happened?
Yeah, pretty much. It's kind of all the things that they do when they're little that you think, why are you doing that? They don't want to brush their hair, they don't want to go to bed, they don't want to brush their teeth, they suddenly decide they only want to eat orange vegetables. And you just think it's madness. But in their little heads, when they're growing up, there's just so much going on, and it's just something they don't like doing. I mean, bath time is always fun, but then afterwards, the aftermath is just carnage, because trying to get a brush anywhere near their hair is just a nightmare. So I have a top tip, actually, when you were saying about hacks.
Oh, yes, yes.
Yeah, I'd say plait the hair before bedtime, let them sleep in plaits, and then you wake up in the morning with no knots and a new hairstyle for the day.
Okay, there you go.
That would be my top tip.
I like that. That's Jenny's nodding her head with that agreement there.
Yeah, it kind of makes a wavy texture, doesn't it? So
yeah.
Yeah, and it's very nice.
You have a whole new hairstyle for a day. It's great. Mm-hmm. And you wake up and there's hardly any knots in there because the hair's been plaited all night, so... Yeah, it's a win-win.
I think Matt should give that a go, actually. What do you reckon, Matt?
I have to say, though.
Matt with plaits, rhymes.
When I was younger, I did have much redder hair and much thicker hair with the odd curl in it. So brushing my hair wasn't easy when I was young either. And I didn't like it very much. So, yeah, there we go. I can understand why, but hopefully... Are you finding, Deborah, that the book will then help other parents and help other children like brushing their hair?
Yeah, that's the idea. I have had quite a lot of feedback, actually, from people that have read the book to their daughters who have said that they now want to be like Princess No Knots. They don't want their hair cut. They want it, you know, they're going to stand still when they have it brushed. And it has actually helped. So they kind of read the book to them while they're brushing their hair, and before they know it, the job is done and everyone's happy.
Okay.
So the feedback I've had to date has been brilliant, and a lot of parents are feeling the pain that I felt, so I'm glad it's helping.
And, you know, and it's not just you as well, is quite reassuring, I suppose.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, you do when you're going through these parent struggles, think, it can't just be me, can it, really? My kids are just, you know, driving me crazy, and somebody else's have to be too, so... the feedback I've had has been brilliant.
So you talk about the book tackling the problem of children not wanting to brush their hair in a fun and entertaining way, so talk me through, how do you make that fun and entertaining?
Well, it's got to bridge it can't be too serious, because you don't want it to be... I mean, the king in it is the one who decides that he's had enough, and he's a king, but he's also a parent. So he just says, I've had enough of these dramas. If you don't let somebody brush your hair, then you're going to lose your crown and lose your name, and you'll have to have your hair cut. So it's also about sort of willpower and determination, because she has to try and figure out a way of how she can do that, because she doesn't want to lose her crown or her name. So she's got to come up with a solution to the problem, which is kind of like helping kids to understand that it comes down to them. They need to figure out a way of doing it that works for everybody. So hopefully it, you know, gives them a bit of encouragement to do that.
Okay. Jenny, if you were reading a book like this as a, when you were younger, how do you think that would have helped you kind of understand the whole idea of brushing your hair? And
yeah, I think that would give me more maybe inspiration to have my hair done properly. And like, as you said, determination and having your hair done as a child, it really is building up your confidence as you grow older, isn't it? Mm-hmm,
yeah, definitely. Yeah, I think so. And you love the end result, don't you? They all love the end result and going out and having their hair in plaits and bunches and looking lovely. But to get that, it's like no pain, no gain, isn't it? You've got to have it brushed in order for it to look lovely.
Yeah, it's the hidden thing that goes on, sort of the preparation leading up to that wonderful haircut, you know, the struggle and the sort of the effort of getting to that point, isn't it, really?
Yeah, you have to go through the pain, but to get the end result, which they love when once it's done. But it's kind of commonly known in parent circles as like the dreaded hair wash night. It's like going into battle. Nobody wants to do it. Everyone knows what the outcome's going to be. So it's almost set up before it starts. So the idea of this book is to kind of give the children the confidence that if you just stand still, it'll be done in 5 minutes. It won't hurt that much. And the end result will be lovely. So let's try and do that.
I mean, I just love the idea that, you know, you're sitting down having a chat with some fellow parents and you come up with the idea and it's like, was it that light bulb moment? Oh, I'm going to write a book. And then you just went home and wrote it.
Well, the idea came into my head when my kids were younger and they're a bit older now. But I wrote it and then life got hectic, so I parked it. And then during lockdown, after I'd done my like seventh puzzle, I thought, I need to do something. And what can I do to make the best out of this lockdown? And I got it back off the shelf. And the guy who did the illustrations, Matt Richards, he said, yes, I'm in, let's do it, let's finish it off. So I think it was about 8 years just parked on the shelf. And lockdown was the thing that made me kind of think, I really need just to finish it off and get it out there. So we worked together and that's what we did. And his illustrations are amazing.
Do you know, we're hearing that a lot. Yeah, we're hearing that a lot. You know, lockdown gives people time to hit the reset button and discover things and revisit stuff. So that was kind of the catalyst for you to put the book together, the fact that you, you know, you're in lockdown. How was the lockdown period for you, though?
At first it was a bit of a novelty, and then it dragged on. And there's only so many puzzles you can do, isn't there? Because you think, I need to do something more constructive than this, so I need to find myself something to do. And I just happened to walk past the bookshelf and saw it, and I thought, this is the ideal time. It's a bit of a now or never.
Yeah. Did you
either
have to
crack on with it and get it done, or it's never going to happen?
Did you have to do homeschooling?
How
was that?
That was an experience.
If that was something to your next book.
I know. I've got plenty of material going forward.
How to be a teacher. And how
do you think you will write another book? Did writing one kind of inspire you to think, I can do this more regularly and come up with more advice for parents and stuff?
Yeah, I think so. I don't think I can just stop with hair brushing because there's so much more out there. When I get feedback about the book, it's kind of like, are you doing one about brushing teeth? Because I have that nightmare every night. Or I can't get my child to go to bed because there's monsters under the bed, which we've checked, and they know there isn't, but they still won't go to bed. So it's all those things when they're young that just become dramas, and you don't understand the reason why. I'm sure there's something going on in their little head. But
yeah, I'm noticing Jenny sitting here nodding in agreement as you're speaking there. So you're sort of relating to what you're hearing here, are you?
Yeah, I mean, I'm still scared of sometimes when I go to sleep in the dark, even at my age. And tying my shoelaces when I got younger, I didn't know how to do it, and I always had to get my parents to help me. How was that experience with you, with your children doing their laces?
Oh, the laces, yeah. We went on a long car journey one day, and I thought, right, now's the time. We've got a captive audience. Let's take our shoes off and let's just practice. So I sat in the back with the kids, and we just went over and over and over it until they managed to get it. And then they were so pleased. It's all the outcomes. They're so pleased that they've overcome this obstacle, and they're so pleased that they've done it and achieved it. So the end result is always, as I said, a win-win for everybody, and another little life sort of ticked off, you know, a life skill ticked off. So I think I will have to do one about teeth.
Yes.
I definitely will do one about bed.
So it's gonna
and fussy eaters, because I had one of those as well.
Yeah,
definitely.
The next skill when they get older will have to be learning how to tie a tie for school, won't it?
Yeah.
Do you know, I still can't do that. That's really bad, isn't it?
I can't either.
In my 40s, I still can't tie a tie. I buy clip-ons. That's really bad.
I can't tie a tie either.
So I'll definitely be buying into that book if you write that. So how does it feel, Debbie, you know, to have, going from the idea to actually having a physical book in front of you, thinking, you know, this is your something you've produced and it's now a book and it's out there? How does that feel for you?
Oh, amazing. The day they arrived, when they were printed and they arrived, the boxes turned up. And I was just so proud when I opened the box. I guess it's a sort of little journey for me as well, you know, termination, because I could have left it. I could have not bothered. And I thought, actually, no, you can't sort of half finish something. You need to just get it done and get it out there. Mm. So, it was one of those moments. And I thought, my granddad would have been so proud because he was a massive storyteller. So if he knew that I'd done this, he would have been over the moon. So it's kind of in his honour, because he was the ultimate storyteller, just made stories up out of his head when we were younger. Wow. So I'm really pleased I did it. And I don't think I would have done it had it not been for lockdown. So I guess that's one positive thing that's come out of it for me.
There you go, a positive from the whole sort of last 2 years of lockdown. You know, lots of negatives. But I think, you know, people are finding those small positives and we need to cling on to that, I think.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, there was a lot of doom and gloom, wasn't there? And it was really hard for people. The struggle was really hard, especially with the homeschooling. It was tough, really tough for everybody. So, I just decided to do something positive so that at the end of it, I've now got this, and it's amazing, and I'm really proud of myself, yeah.
So I know you're donating a number of books to local schools. I mean, that's a nice thing to do, and I think that's something, you know, that can maybe potentially be used in a classroom in some of the lessons when it comes to sort of areas around life skills and hairbrushing and things.
Yeah, I'm really keen to get them into local schools, actually, and I dropped one into my old primary school the other day, and I haven't set foot in my old primary school for 40 years, and it was just the same. It flooded back with memories, and I'm hoping to go in and read it to the children in there. But schools and libraries, definitely. I want to get them into libraries as well, because I went to the library a lot with my children, and they read so many books as a result of libraries. So, I intend to get them into the local libraries as well.
There you go. You mentioned going back to the primary school. I think I went back to my school a few years ago. They had a fair or something, and it was like, it's really weird. You walk in, you're thinking, how low are those tables?
So I really fit on that chair and under that desk.
But nothing had changed, and it just felt like home, because I had really happy memories of that primary school.
Yeah.
I just hoped I didn't bump into any of the teachers, but, you know.
Yes.
I wasn't particularly good in their year necessarily. But I didn't see any faces that I knew, so
okay.
I got away with it.
You were safe, you got away with it. What were you like at school, though? What did your school report say then?
Quite lively.
Okay.
Is that how we're going to sum it up?
Good at English, I hope.
Yeah, good at English. I was always good at English. I've always written poems and stuff like that for my family at special occasions, and I've always enjoyed writing, so it's always been a passion of mine. I never thought I'd turn something into a book, but my school report wasn't too bad. A couple of glitches. The end result was okay.
Yes, the end result is this wonderful book, Princess No Knots, which you can get hold of. How do we get hold of it? It's priced $5.99. How do we get hold of a copy if we want to have one?
Because I'm sure there's people out there that want their own copy immediately.
Yes, I think it would definitely help people's lives. You can get it via Amazon.co.uk, I'm on Instagram as well, so you'll find me on there. I think it's Deborah.Dylan.56. But if you search for the book on Instagram, you should come up with me, and I have copies here.
Oh,
so,
fantastic.
Yeah, either way. Yeah, I want to hear from the parents out there. I'd love to hear what they think of it.
Yes, there you go. Hopefully dealing with those dramas around the dreaded hairbrushing. I think you could be the best friend of the whole parenting community, I think.
I hope so.
Deborah, it's been really, really nice to talk to you, and thank you for sharing your story. And it's just so lovely that you've able to, you know, achieve what you've achieved with the book and helping other people as well. So thank you. Really nice to talk to you.
Oh, you too. Thank you.
Thank you very much. There we go.
Thank you.
Deborah Dylan there. Princess No Knots is available now. You can get it on Amazon for £5.99.